Hey, comedian Adam Newman here, letting you know about Pussy Boys, a brand new podcast I co-host with my funny friends where real men talk about their love of cats. So tune into Pussy Boys on the Seltzer Kings Network and like, listen, subscribe, write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. That's Pussy Boys, all Z's. Trust me, you don't want to go where the S's take you. It's gross.
Just keep thinking about what's his name from the Atlantic or whatever. Jeffrey Toobin.
Toobin.
Oh, it's time to show hog.
It's time to show hog.
Good to know. Oh, wow. You guys aren't going to see me? Okay, I've got a little dent here real quick.
The video came back on at an inopportune time.
The best part about that is the fact that he got to come back, but before he could, he had to have his colleagues ask the real important questions, like, what were you thinking? What the fuck was he thinking?
Do your balls hang low?
He was thinking I don't think he was thrilled by people watching. I think he really thought nobody was looking, and he doesn't know about technology. If you're going to take a pee-pee or a poo-poo or a jerk-off, you need to turn the computer around. You can't just be
1, 2, 3, I believe, is
Jeremy taught me this a long time ago. Jeremy taught me a secret a long time ago, and it's very easy. It's the easiest thing you can do. It's a post-it note, and you put the post-it note over like this. Mm-hmm. Look, now you can't see me.
Mm-hmm. I put a post-it note on my Peloton, and it says it'll have an inspiring phrase on it, like, you can do it, or sometimes it just says, fuck this. But, and that way, because I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want to be friends with anybody on Peloton. I don't want them to see me sweating.
Weird, right?
Get out of here.
No. Do not watch me.
Climb the leaderboards on Peloton?
I tried the leaderboard, something. And I pay.
Seems crazy.
Sarah has a Peloton, and I have one of these things called a water rower, which doesn't have any of that fun stuff. You have to make all that stuff up in your head. It's like going back to like the old school video game, like Pog.
You have to put 5 gallons in it if you want to work out.
My dad used to tell me, he was like, oh, yeah, no, you know, it's just the same thing. So we used to have to take, you know, parchment paper and put little things on either side. So when we were playing Pog back and forth, you could try to miss things here. I'm like, but Dad, wouldn't it just go through the screen back and forth? He's like, yeah, it sucked. Wasn't fun to do. I'm like, well, why were you doing it, Dad? He's like, it was the 70s, and it was
we didn't
a computer
have shit to do.
Video game system.
We didn't know any better.
Do you know what it was? I wasn't into cocaine, okay? I wanted to play video games.
I had the Peloton in storage for many, many months because I lived in California when I got the Peloton for $0 down, 0% APR, $63 a month for the rest of my life. So I've been paying it off for a year and a half now, and it'll be another 5 years. But I put it in storage, and I moved east for what I thought was a temporary move, rented a furnished condo to be closer to my family in Jersey. And then I decided that I wanted to, well, I saw that it was possible for the only time in my life for approximately 4 weeks for me to put in an offer on a home in New York City in Brooklyn. So I did.
Pressure.
And yeah, if I had put in an offer a month later, it wouldn't have happened. And so I was able to, through the grace of God and capitalism, make it happen. And I said, well, I guess I gotta get that stuff from California here to Brooklyn, New York City. And
so she sent for the bike.
I sent for the bike, and the moving people said, First, the movers at first said, yeah, we'll move the stuff cross country. And then they changed their mind 2 weeks before they were supposed to move it. They were like, no, it just feels like it would be really stressful right now. And I was like, yeah.
So they left it in Oklahoma City and you were stuck.
I got other people. Shout out to Oz, the Wizard of Oz. Ooh, moving okay. people. They brought it.
Heard of them.
They brought it. And so I got back on the old gal. And let me tell you something. My butt and perineum, which is the taint part of my person, really said, wow. They said, wow, Sarah.
Welcome back.
They said, welcome. Mm-hmm. They sang the Welcome Back Cotter theme song, and I said, stop.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
That felt terrible.
You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it.
Oh, are you singing through the taint, Dan? Yeah. That's pretty good.
There was an effect there, yes.
I understand that feeling, but it's mostly, it's like the bottom of the boniest part of my ass and my balls getting crunched between my thighs while I'm doing this water rower that I hadn't done in a month because I thought that I pulled a muscle or something and I took time off and I was like, I can get back on this. 15 minutes, 3K, I got this. Mm-mm, daddy don't got that.
Well, like, why don't...
Anywho, I just wanted to commiserate with you. No, I mean, I got it. They're still there, but it's just, it's one of those things where the pressure system is not cool. Like I need to be rowing in a different position. They have to give you this tiny seat. Why do they, not everybody.
I was going to say, can't you
butt,
just go on the river? Know? Can you get a
little wider,
can you get a
please.
Swan boat rower or one of those things? Like
boat
the duck
rower. You could go to Central Park and steal a swan boat and take
and
it
turn
around
that into
like
a row.
Like some kind of retention pond in a public park. I like that idea.
It's an installation.
Do you understand how many kids I've knocked down getting to that swan boat in Prospect Park? A lot. Before I was a dad, I was really knocking kids around. And now as a dad, I'm still knocking them around. But now I get to be like, hey, he was trying to hit my son.
Wow.
You can't do that. You can do that all the time.
Have that in your taint pocket? Yeah. You just have it like,
woof.
Ready to go?
Just write him. Yeah. I have a six pocket in my jeans and it's by my taint and it doesn't hold anything. It's very difficult to carry.
It holds barely anything at all.
The only thing I keep in there is my lucky bicentennial quarter that everybody has. That, you know, you're like, oh, everybody's got.
I have
a
few. If anybody doesn't, I have a few.
But I see one and every time I'm like, I'm never spending.
I never
this
am
because it's a bicentennial quarter.
It's older than me.
Spend it. Yeah.
But it's hard to find those sesquicentennial ones. Those are the
I
ones
don't think
you want.
You need any of them.
No, I don't. Why think do the country has existed that long, buddy.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I really want one of those has quarters.
Yeah,
what, a sesquicentennial?
Have,
yeah. Of course.
I don't know. I never. Yeah.
Sarah,
I would
promise
be so
I will
overjoyed.
You live in Brooklyn, yep. We'll find a place
no,
to
have,
meet
I
up.
I have one, and I also have video.
Okay.
I also
I
mean, am on camera. This
it
is a liar.
Me joy.
This
I
is
would
a
love
faceless
to
liar
to
who's
somebody
talking
else.
Oh, gosh, I see a cardinal out the window.
What I want to do is I want to meet up with Danny. I want there to be like a location we agree on, and Danny and I walk very slowly towards one another with making full eye contact with no facial expression, totally blank, and then when we get to each other, we each look away and stare into the middle distance while he hands me the quarter, and then we stay like one beat too long so that people look, and then we keep going, never
just
speak.
Keep moving, yeah, like that.
Yep.
I suggest the mall on Ocean Parkway, the world's the first bicycle
yeah, it's a good one. You know,
trail
it's,
in
what's
New York
the
City.
What's her name? Maria.
Yes.
Maria Abramovich. You guys know who Maria Abramovich is, the visual artist. So this is. I just made me think of this. Not that we dated in the past and came together, but her and her longtime lover met in the middle of the Chinese Wall, said their goodbyes, and then passed each other and continued on to the other end of the wall.
What walls are we talking? What?
That's very.
That's fucking
about?
Crazy.
The Great Wall of China.
The Great Wall.
Beautiful.
The Great Wall of China.
They went. They started on the Great Wall of China on either side, and they walked to the middle, met up, and said, "This has been fun, but we have to end it. Love you, kisses. I'll never sending you a postcard. Me neither. And then they left and they walked. Then they just kept going and they went to the other end ends of the Great Wall. I mean, give me a break. This is also a lady who thought visual art was like putting a bunch of saws face up as a ladder to climb up of on to get onto some, I don't know, whatever she was doing at the MoMA. Oh, she was also staring at people. That was another thing she did. I think that's how I know about this, because the same dude the same dude who did that when she was sitting across from people just staring at them, he popped in, and that was like the first time they seen each other since they passed each other on the Great Wall. Anyway, it's a great story.
Someone I remember watching the video of that gentleman, Marina Abramowitz. She's great at what she does, which is the staring, and it's very haunting.
Which is being present.
Which is being present what she does. Slim and beautiful and very and raven-haired, if I recall correctly. And this dude, at least they set it up like it was a surprise. This dude came back for Stare Town Love Lust Part Deux and just like rolled up into her performance art situation. And then there's video of them both staring at each other until weeping occurs. And I'm watching this and I'm like, these two people fucking love a show. Mm-hmm. Like, there was not room in the relationship for both of them. They need each one of them. They're both clearly alphas. Each one needs a thing.
You're saying this was a reunion in her installation,
yes,
like post Great Wall of China. I got you. I think I've seen a little clip.
Yes.
It's hauntingly beautiful,
but
I found it very emotionally moving, but at the same time was like, each of them was so hard to date. They could never be in the same, they couldn't be together for too long. Each one of these people needs somebody else to take care of them or something. Like, this is too much.
Get a room. What kind
just
of room?
Just a large, large room.
Psychiatric rooms that have really soft stuff.
You're trying to say a rubber room.
A rubber room.
Shit might go down.
A rubber room.
I actually saw her once going into an elevator. I was coming out and she was coming in and we made eye contact. And I was like, that's you. And she, totally out of character, she just kind of gave me like a, yeah, you know, it's me. Smile.
I love a
and
celebrity
like a point,
head nod.
And then the doors closed. So I was like, all right, that was at 180 Varick Street. Yeah, it was a good celebrity head nod, but I feel like she must have seen me because I was just like, the wheels going, like, well, I know who you are.
So you
like,
got
yeah, you do. So, yeah.
You got the Doors free show without having to pay admission to the museum. That's fucking great.
Well, yeah, you got best
good
of both
for you.
Worlds.
You won. You won. You won the breakup.
That's true. That's true. That is true.
Yeah, I got to watch out. These two have history.
You and Marina have history now.
There's got to be. There has to be an emperor's new clothes limit on some installation art. I'm a little skeptical occasionally, but I haven't found it yet. I think was it Marina Abramowitz who did the installation with all the shoes? She did a lot of dead people's shoes. Of people who had died in Eastern Europe, maybe.
I think you're thinking of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C.
There's another one, much more recent.
They do the same thing in New York. First of all, they're biting somebody's style. I would say you're plagiarizing the Holocaust Museum. Thank you.
That's an homage.
It's an homage. Or it's just parallel thinking. We're all swimming in the same cultural soup.
Yikes.
I guess me saying that to somebody in all seriousness, me saying that would be like me saying, well, guess, you know what? Picasso already put paint on canvas, so you can't do that. we get to use different media, right? Like, that's really, and shoes and articles of clothing are so symbolic and they carry so much
personal.
Meaning.
They're very personal.
So it's hauntingly beautiful. Sure. So you know what? Shame on me for going to a joke place about something beautiful.
Closing your mind off.
Closing my mind off.
Or,
well, no, you don't have to be. It's not shameful. It's not shameful because I went to that MoMA art installation with all of her stuff. And one of the things was you had to walk in between two naked people. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk through the two naked people and, you know, she chose someone that, you know, well endowed, and, you know, it was a moment of, and they don't move. They're just standing there kind of looking at you. And I was, you know, I don't know how it was it was chilly in there. And I was like, man, dude, I'm impressed.
Okay, I'm now looking
this.
I'm
walk through you right now. And I did it.
I'm doing
and
research.
I was like, you know what?
Right,
it wasn't
now.
That bad. This is, yeah, and this is real. She did that, and like, there was like, they had like an old like East German or like some Eastern European country like van, like giving out numbers from like 1 to 10,000, so you could hear it throughout the wall. So like when we first walked in, they were like 175, and by the time we were coming out, there's like 2,941.
You're
like, oh my
news.
God, can you please shut up?
Oh,
tell us, Sarah.
Breaking news from the library, Wikipedia. Now, first of all, Miss Marina is from Serbia and has
a war-torn country. Definition of a war-torn country.
And has been
country.
Around the world and done many extraordinary things, and I'm very impressed by her.
And I can't find my baby. I don't know when. I don't know why.
She's a 90s hit.
I can drive away.
But check this out. Check this out. All right, I'm going to read you this whole paragraph. Everybody get ready, because it's a lot.
Do it.
Okay. Rhythm 10, 1973. And her first performance in Edinburgh in 1973. Marina explored elements of ritual and gesture, making use of 20 knives and 2 tape recorders. The artist played the Russian game, in which rhythmic knife jabs are aimed between the splayed fingers of one's hand. Each time she cut herself, she would pick up, I'm sorry if I'm blowing out the mic here, Jeremy. Each time she cut herself, she would pick up a new knife from the row of 20 she had set up and record the operation. After cutting herself 20 times, she replayed the tape, listened to the sounds of herself cutting herself, and tried to repeat the same movements, attempting to replicate the mistakes, merging past and present. With this piece, she began to consider the state of consciousness and of the performer, and she said, quote, "Once you enter into the performance state, you can push your body to do things you absolutely could never normally do." Wow. What do we think about that versus the staring contest with the ex-boyfriend?
What if the ex-boyfriend was Lance Henriksen from Aliens?
You know, because she also did, that was the other thing, her walking up and down the stairs on like saws, you know, blades up. That was like a ladder to climb up to something, and she would do that. So I guess it makes sense. And she's just, you know, I think she's just cheating.
This
I think
is so punk
particularly
rock.
With that, she
I
just
think
has
she
very
might
calloused
be punk
feet.
Rock. She might be more punk than anything we've ever encountered. And also, she has a nonprofit foundation for performance art in a 33,000 square foot space in sunny Hudson, New York.
Love
well,
Hudson.
I'm obsessed with her now, and Hudson's fun. You can go antiquing. So
let's
go find her and
let's
talk
go
to
get
her.
Old. Let's go get
let's
old.
Go now antiquing. Do let's go find her. I'll go find her. I mean, not in a stalky way. I don't.
Do
I feel. It. I feel.
I want, do you think that's recorded
like that.
Somewhere?
She's
that
come
that,
after me now.
The rhythm 10 thing,
the cutting
like
thing.
The audio?
I'm looking
yeah.
at 100% right now.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. I seem to remember seeing something about that as well. Gosh, we should just all make the MoMA do
like
all of their stuff all over again.
How would you?
Well, ask the MoMA. Hey, you know, three of my friends here missed the Marina Abramovich.
Oh my God, you guys!
Can
I please
exhibits?
Tell
you?
Can you her
bring
artist
them back?
Statement?
You're allowed to tell us.
Why not?
Okay. Okay. So she wrote.
Yes.
I am so amped up right now. Okay, this I found this German site, but it's published in English and in German, so I can read it because I can read English. Okay. But no other languages because I am an American. Let's see. Okay. Not that you have to be monolingual to be an American. Offensive. Okay. Okay, here's what she says. Preparation. I lay a sheet of white. Imagine a very sexy Serbian saying this to you. I lay a sheet of white paper on the floor. I lay 20 knives of different shapes and sizes on the floor. I place 2 cassette recorders with microphones on the floor. Okay, here's her statement about the performance. I switch on the first cassette recorder. I take the knife and plunge it as fast as I can into the flesh between the outstretched fingers of my left hand. After each cut, I change to a different knife. Once all the knives, all the rhythms have been used, I rewind the tape. I listen to the recording of the first performance. I concentrate. I repeat the first part of the performance. I pick up the knives in the same sequence, adhere to the same rhythm, and cut myself in the same places! In this performance, the mistakes of the past and those of the present are synchronous. Okay, I get that. Like, why don't you just have the same codependent relationship over and over again like some of us do? Like, you don't need to do performance cutting.
I guess
that wasn't enough.
That wasn't enough. She said, "I am an artist, and this is why I am not going to live as a legend of art because I don't have the level of commitment that Marina has."
I don't have that much blood.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm not made of blood.
Yeah, but is that commitment or is it just like I'm going to do this thing and then I'm going to think about like this? I feel like sometimes the mission statement.
Yeah, like self-harm really just is a way real to be like, thing.
Yeah, I'm a cutter.
Well, I mean, there was that performance art, but that performance art happened like 50 years ago.
This was in the 70s and before we had the language we have around like, see, we didn't have the language around self-harm that we do now, but like, it's also interesting because there is the form of art. What is it called? Body mortification, like certain like all
body mod,
body, like yeah. And like mm-hmm. alternative circuses and things like that. And carnivals where people do.
We went to a weird thing when a girl was hanging from a like. Remember, we went to that thing in Jersey when the girl was hanging from a ring in her back. Yeah. We went to a tattoo convention.
It was an Asbury Park.
It was an Asbury
Jersey
Park.
Jersey is like, Asbury Park in Jersey is like, is like the place. Yeah. If you want to hang out with some punk weirdos with some tattoos. And I was talking about this with Chris Gethard on a New Jersey is the World podcast.
Another Jersey guy. Very good.
And he has a podcast called Woe Town, New Jersey is World. And it's a bunch of dudes from West Orange. And we talked about like, just how different things in the world are Jersey-ish. Like wherever I go, I sort of compare it to New Jersey in my mind to kind of find a sense of place.
When things are instead of things being that so Raven, you could say that's so Jersey.
Oh yeah, like Studio City in the San Fernando Valley that's Montclair to me because it's fancy. It has its slightly grungy parts, but it's pretty upscale. And then you've got like Burbank. Burbank is at once Wayne, New Jersey and Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. Like it has all the aspects and, you know, a lot of mall culture, right? So that's how I experience the world. I figure it out that way. Like, okay, Fort Greene is kind of like Jersey City now.
What can I apply this to?
Kind of like Lambertville, New Jersey at the same time.
God, the depth of Jersey knowledge. Jesus.
Listen.
You're mining the depths.
I normally just insult it, but I'm gonna withhold all those things.
I love it.
Hey,
I know the difference between Morristown and Morristown.
Very nice. Well, you guys, when you were children making a television program, did you guys shoot in Cranford? Is that where you shot? Like, or did they shoot like exteriors?
Yeah. We shot the pool. The pool episode was at Cranford. Nutley.
Because Cranford is beautiful.
Leonia, Cranford, South Orange.
Cloister, Nutley.
The whole third mm-hmm. season was
it's gorgeous.
Grandson.
And that, it is beautiful. Well, I remember as a kid in Jersey, that was a big deal that like the Adventures of Pete and Pete shot some in Cranford. And I wasn't from Cranford. I'm from Hunterdon County. But like, you know, when you're a little kid, it's such a big deal that like,
notoriety.
Yeah, like the idea that a TV show that you watch got filmed in your state is like a big deal when you're from New Jersey and you're mostly like my understanding of sort of acting as a kid in Jersey. I didn't grow up an actor kid, but it was like, you know, if you went to public school in New Jersey during the 80s or 90s, you went to school with some girl who understudied for like Gavroche or fucking like.
They beat me. I never got that one. I always wanted Gavroche.
I was like still super bitter about she didn't get to be fucking young Cosette, that whiny asshole. Like that's.
She dies. And she ends up dying. It's okay. She gets the flu.
Fucking asshole. And so that was.
What a bitch.
She's so mad
for my break.
They're just she's just waiting. I just wanted to make sure. Look, I was at understudy.
Oh,
but I also was lead number two at the Paper Mill Playhouse in Millburn, New Jersey.
I did a job at Paper Mill. I learned that's where I learned the basketball game Two Bounce, which was my favorite favorite
Show
game
me something.
Ever.
You learned Two a battles. Basketball well, now, game at the Paper Mill Playhouse in Milford, New Jersey, where one playing, Anne Hathaway with, got her start. And you learned playing, basketball there?
Playing with the electricians backstage. Yeah.
That's so yeah. fun.
It's called that. It's called Two Bounce because you shoot the ball and wherever it Anne did not want to play. Shoot my nose.
Anne said, get out of here.
Anne didn't want to play.
It was fun. I really liked it was far away for me, obviously. It's not your little skipping a jump commute.
But. Yeah, that's a schlep.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I feel like
that's the definition of a schlep.
The NJ metro area, the New Jersey metro area, which includes New York. That's how I think of it. The New Jersey metro area includes places that are lucky enough to be close to New Jersey, such as Philadelphia and New York. And I don't acknowledge the state of Connecticut. And Delaware is like a nice place
whatsoever.
To drive through.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many actor kids.
Mm. Oh, look, mm-hmm. East Stroudsburg would not do well without New Jersey. East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania would be fucked without New Jersey.
All these people are dependent on us.
You, not me.
Specifically, you. New Jersey is the center of the universe.
I like it. So are we going to send this portion of the podcast together to be like, hey, spinoff?
Then you guys have to have a jersey down. You have to have a jersey down. Yeah, but you both said counties, but you didn't say city.
No, I said Wyckoff earlier.
I said I'm from Bergen County.
Oh, you did. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So secrets out.
Wyckoff.
Yeah, Wyckoff. You know, if you know your town.
Name
you
check.
Know your town
yep.
is made it.
That was a good. That was
when
a good
Chunky
rap.
Pam calls you out in her jersey rap. She says.
Wow.
What is it? When they whack off to me, I was like, oh, that's good. That's good use of my town. I like that.
I am from Flemington, New Jersey, which sounds very funny. To
I took the
people.
Bus there.
You did.
I took the bus there. The Transbridge bus would stop in Flemington. Mm-hmm. In Flemington on the way to Doylestown, PA.
Yes, and Doylestown, PA is where I just wrote. For a couple episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Doylestown, PA
awesome.
Is where their production company is headquartered now. And it's got a great theater.
Neighbors of Lansdale.
Mm-hmm.
It's all those tax credits coming back.
Yes. To pay
all those. Yeah. Everybody wants free money. I don't know where what I was going to. Which direction I was going to go with that, but
you're going to probably talk about Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Ohio, whatever. Yeah,
yeah, it's a lot of Jersey.
He's
got to
move elsewhere.
It's usually Ohio talk because I'm from Ohio, and
Jeremy
then we have people call
have
in
an
from
opinion
Ohio.
God, there's
Jersey,
so much Buckeye talk.
Talk.
If you would
it.
Like to talk to us about New Jersey, let us know at 347-470-8150.
I would like to talk about spaghetti with chili on top with Jeremy.
Oh, thank God!
Oh Lord,
I've been waiting for this.
Let's talk about it.
I don't know
it.
If there's anything in New Jersey that would compare to it.
Pork roll versus
disco,
Taylor
disco
Ham.
Fries.
Disco fries.
Disco fries.
Disco fries, which are like easy. Disco fries, which are like our poutine.
Poutine,
basically.
Yes. This is more of like just like you know, pre-diarrhea is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what the difference the New Jersey, wait, hold on, Jeremy. Let me just I can make this very simple, very easy. You got spaghetti and chili in fucking Ohio, but if you're from Jersey,
put some raw onions.
You just have spaghetti.
Put some raw onions, some oyster crackers and cheese on that.
You get your chunky meat, you get your red sauce.
You just let it go.
You can make that a Fra Diablo.
If it's a Fra Diablo, you lead it astray.
It's like Skyline chili, right? Skyline is one
Same
of
thing.
The restaurants.
Yeah, it's just one of the brands. Yeah, Gold Star Skyline. I mean, I grew up on it, so I eat it every day. But when I introduce it to people, it's typically a one and doneer type thing because
they don't talk to you. They don't return your calls.
A couple hours afterwards, they're like, "Oh man, what is happening?" And then it's like, "Well, welcome to Cincinnati, bud."
Jeremy, I'm calling you from the emergency room.
No, feel so good.
Oof.
But if you want to take it back to pork roll and Taylor Ham, real quick. Mm. Pennsylvania has scrapple. Jersey has pork roll, which is not all pork roll is Taylor Ham, but all Taylor Ham is pork roll. Remember that. Well, because it's true, because all pork roll is not created equal. And Taylor Ham is the.
You say
Taylor Ham or pork roll. But in Ohio, they have this weird breakfast meat called, what is it, Guetta?
Guetta.
Gueta, what did you showed it to me, Jeremy. You don't eat
meat.
Oh,
Guetta.
Guetta.
I have a shirt.
Uh-huh.
I have a shirt for Guetta that says Guetta Life that I got when I did a gig in Cincy.
It's a sausage of some kind,
I'm
guessing.
2 years ago. Yeah, I loved it. I got it for breakfast with scrambled eggs. And I was like, this rules.
But did
it's
you try
Cincinnati
it?
Sausage grain patties. Wow.
It's from like the when
it's
they
very
were
good. It's very good. Yeah.
Like Germans were cold. In the 19th century,
yeah,
some
like
cold steel cut Germans
oats in like sausage or something.
They needed to invent something.
They just said, "What the fuck do we have around here? This is desolate." And
throw it all in the sausage.
American football hasn't been invented yet, and we want to die because we have nothing to focus on. Also, we are German, and it is the 19th century. So they just took like things that maybe they would have fed the pigs, and then also they took the pigs and made them dead, and then put it all together, and we're like. This is Guetta, not David Guetta or Guetta, the DJ.
The DJ?
Yeah. I wear the Guetta Life shirt. I wear the Guetta Life shirt, which is from a great store called the Wolf Pack that stocks mostly local artists from Cincy and Ohio. But I was there to do a show with Travis McElroy, who is a great Ohio resident. Of my brother and me, and it was super fun. And I was shopping, as one does, because I'm from New Jersey, and I'm like, how do I self-soothe? Find a mall. I can't find one. Yeah. I'll find an independent shop. And
consume,
I got the Get
right.
a Life mm-hmm. shirt, and I was like, what is this? What does this mean? And they explained it to me, and I purchased it.
It says here on the Wikipedia is, along with Cincinnati chili and mock turtle soup.
What?
It is, according to Cincinnati food historian, Dan Wollert, one of the area's holy trinity of specialties.
Wow.
What? Guetta, chili, and what else?
Holy trinity of specialties.
A lot of salt and a lot of carbohydrates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever to make. We need to be like, we need to pad it on over there. You know what I mean? We need to be like resistant to the weather.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all tastes good.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
I think I heard my water rower yelling at me instead of a post-it note that I put on. It actually speaks to me.
You guys, I just found what's in mock turtle soup.
You don't eat that shit anyway.
It's not mock turtles, is it?
Well, I'll tell you.
No.
Once again, it commences with Germans being cold. So Germans were cold, but actually English people were cold.
The creation story.
Right. Germans were cold. So this soup is a traditional dish in the Lower Saxony areas of Germany, where it's considered a specialty of English cuisine. So it's a real German-English combo package. Okay, here's what's in it. It was made as an imitation of green turtle soup because I guess in Ohio, turtles were like, go fuck yourself. We're going to Wisconsin or something.
Yeah, so we're leaving.
It often uses brains.
Go to Maryland.
It uses brains and organ meats such as calf's head to duplicate the texture and flavor of the original turtle meat.
This is exactly the same thing, just in soup form instead of sausage.
Yeah, it's like horrifying parts, all the worst parts of the animal. And it's because a lot of the green turtles that you use for turtle soup, they had been hunted to extinction by earlier Germans and English and probably Dutch and Spaniards and French.
Oh, you see, I thought it was the same guy that took all the snakes out of Ireland. Wasn't it St. Peter, St. Paul, St. someone?
St. Patrick.
St. Patrick.
That's right. St. Patrick said there's no more need for snakes in Ireland. And he then also promptly went to Ohio and said there's no need for green turtles.
He replicated the same
here.
Trick in Ohio and drove out. Right? Just anti-amphibian for some reason.
I feel sad about mock turtle soup because I had two soups that were turtles. Well, they were just turtles. And they didn't turn them into soup. My dad ran over one on accident because it got out. I'm still around.
Clark.
It says that Campbell's made mock turtle soup but discontinued it before 1960. Although Andy Warhol said that's his favorite soup.
Before 1960, Campbell's soup. Campbell's we're on
mock
the game
turtle.
This is an Ohio food history podcast.
You're learning stuff.
Yep.
Guys, can I tell you one quick little tidbit about brains and organ meat?
Yes.
This is just me being a dick because my friend was a dick and he was like, you have to go to the store and buy all this like expensive meat because we're grilling and yada yada. And he was like, make sure you get a good piece because I want a good cut. Like, he was like really pushing for me to, like, I don't know, buy Kobe beef or something expensive. And I was like, fuck you. So I bought dogs and I bought some ground meat. But they had for $1.19 one giant cow heart that they carved into four pieces. And so I bought it and I was like, I'm going to tell him this was like some special meat. And he bought it.
That's pretty great.
And was like, oh man, he literally walked by and was like, I didn't even have to say anything. He's like, whoa, that looks cool. I want some of that. And I was like, yeah, dude, totally. And I fed it to him and I never told him, but I kept calling him Captain Beefheart for the rest of the weekend. And he didn't understand the reference, but all my friends did. And it was like one of my greatest moments in life. Because to this day, he still doesn't know that he ate four quarters of a cow heart and he thought it was some exquisite meat. So basically, don't go barbecuing with me if you got an attitude.
Are you going to send him this episode?
I should.
Right,
we
got a little update. Like, here's an update for you.
Yes.
Remember that whole that Captain Beefheart?
Sam, this is for you, bud. Yeah, Captain Beefheart. Why do you keep calling me that? Why is everybody laughing? It's funny, Captain Beefheart.
Idiot.
Well, I feel like we could.
I'm sorry. Mock turtle soup really brought it around for me.
Oh, yeah. Mock turtle. I feel like we could talk about animal parts all day.
If you're from Ohio and you're tired of all the slander, let us know at 347-470-8150.
I mean, are you tired of being worshipped by us on this episode?
Are you tired of being cold and cramming meat into sausages?
Yeah, I mean, your ancestors were cold. So we've lost Germans.
We've gained New Jersey followers. We may have lost and gained the same amount of Ohio people.
Connecticut
told us to go fuck off too.
Yep.
I'm a fan of Serbia, Ohio, not Connecticut, and definitely New Jersey.
Serbia
anti-nutmegger, huh? Mm-hmm. Anti-nutmegger.
Yeah, okay. Do we need nutmeg so much? Like, it's fine. It's good.
You know, when you call yourself the first New England state, shut up and get out of here, Connecticut.
Somebody who works at the Mark
so you're part
Twain
of the tri-state
house
area. Don't try to be so trippy hippy about it.
We burned a lot of bridges tonight, and we're going to take our time releasing this episode. So nobody knows how much.
We ruined a lot of lives tonight, but we also saved a lot of lives tonight.
Yeah,
you know,
sorry. Marina. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and Marina's ex.
Well, and look, if you're looking to mess around with one of your friends who thinks he's too cool for school and wants the finer things in life, buy a $1.19 Cowhart. It works.
Don't
live
do
in proof.
How much is that over the? Oh God.
Sarah, what kind of plugs do you have?
Okay.
Beautiful episode.
You know your girl has a Patreon, right?
Your girl has a Patreon to support the podcast.
You've got to.
So I've got a podcast called Well, This Isn't Normal, which is available in all the pod places. I've got a newsletter that's free and available to all, but you'll get it in your email box 4 times a month if you subscribe at patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa. I have 4 books out that you can purchase. Agora Fabulous, Dispatches from My Bedroom is a memoir. Great is a queer teen Gatsby inspired young adult stuff. DC Trip is about a wacky trip and some kids going there to the DC on a trip. And then Real Artists Have Day Jobs is a book of essays. And yeah, I'm on Twitter at Sarah J. Benincasa and on Instagram at Sarah J. Benincasa as well.
Amazing. Go check her out. Download her stuff. Become a patron.
That's a perfect plug, Sarah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Is your DC book inspired by your New Jersey public school system taking 100%. You to DC
it's,
in the eighth
it's
grade?
It's about kids from a high school in Flemington, New Jersey, and their young teachers. Because I was once a young high school teacher, and it's very much inspired by those trips down to DC, which every kid on the East Coast at some point was supposed to go on.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's how I took 6 packs of cigarettes with me.
I got my first Zippo lighter. I got called Danny 8-Ball because of it. That's my AOL instant messenger name. Came about from my DC trip because some dude walked up to me with like a big long coat on. I was like, "Hey man, you want to buy a Zippo?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah, I do." Skeleton hand, 8-Ball. I just got AOL. What am I gonna call myself? Danny 8-Ball. Cut to college. Hey man, you got anything for me? No, Danny 8-Ball. It's not coke related.
Please stop messaging me.
Please stop messaging me. I don't know what this is. I don't want to go skiing. I've never skied.
Why do you keep talking about keys? I don't understand. What is this code?
I know. My keys are here. They're
I have
on
no
my...
interest in rails.
I've only lost my keys a couple times. I only had to break into my car once. Yeah. Rails? What are these rails?
Well, speaking of rails, go check out the last podcast network.
That's the only
network.
Regret I have in life. The only regret I have in my life.
Check out the last podcast network, lastpodcastnetwork.com, for all your rail needs. Actually, they sell weed, I think, there too on the last pod, but you know, that's a whole other thing.
They have their own strain.
Yeah. Also, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/Danny and Mike with Dan spelled out. If you're going to type it into a browser. Also, you can find Danny at D Tamborelli on the Twits, at Danny Tamborelli on the Instas, Mike's at Michael C. Marona on the Twitter. I'm at Remy Balin and at Jeremy Balin on the Insta, Remy Balin on Twitters, or the Twits.
I'm
hearing an Alfie.
Uh-oh. Alfie alert. It's probably about that time.
You hear Alfie? Yep. Yeah. You see, he's probably finished with dinner.
Hey, Alfred.
It is about that time.
It's Alphonse, right? It's not Alfred. It's Alfred.
He hasn't come through the door yet. But he did come in to check on me because he knew that Dada was sad. So he kept going, "Dada sad." And I was like, "No, I'm fine." I was like giving him the
Dada
cheap,
frustrated.
"No, I'm okay." Dada. Even though I think my computer's busted, Dada. And I'm going to lose all of my stuff. And he was like, "Dada sad." And I said, "Oh, you give me a hug then?" No. And then he walked out. Like, cold
he was just acknowledging. Gotcha. He likes to acknowledge an emotion or acknowledge a situation. Oh, no, car, boom. Like when he saw the car accident. Mm. And he sees you, "Dada sad." Yeah. And then he's
exactly.
Cool. And then he moves on. He's fine with it.
Yep.
Did you feel seen? Like
that's it. He just needs to know. He's like,
it's a lot like Marina. He just wants to see you.
Yeah. He looked at me. He's like, he did that too. He put his 2 fingers by his eyes and then pointed them at me.
Bad boy.
It's like, how do you do that?
Sarah, you're a damn joy.
Well, thank
you
so much, Sarah.
Thank you
for
making this happen.
This is wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
This is so much. much fun. Thank you so much for having me here.
Just, I hope just from sliding into your DM 7 years ago, trying to get you to
record. Brooklyn meetup, and I got to get you. I'm going to bring everybody a bicentennial quarter. We're all going to meet up.
I hope everybody who's listening subscribes and likes and, you know,
yes,
does all that, buys the things that and gives the monies and tells the
we
friends.
Were,
so you are the all of us.
Best. Uh-huh. Yes. You have to, because guess artists. What?
That's right. Don't forget, listeners.
One we also day. Have a couple.
Oh,
listeners. 10/21 and 10/22.
Oh, yeah, we
have
dates.
Live shows in at too? Littlefield in Brooklyn on the 21st and Ardmore Music Hall on the 22nd.
Gosh, that's just more, a little over 2 months away.
So oh my make sure you get go tickets. Get tickets. Find the links. I can't do that. You know, I can't orally give you the links.
Oh,
but
I
you
forgot
can find
one more plug. I'm sorry.
Yeah, do it.
Do
I
it.
Forgot that I forgot
plug
that live things happen sometimes. I am doing October 6th. It's weird,
I know, me
right?
Too.
October 6th. You got to be masked up and vaxxed up at Powerhouse Arena in Brooklyn. I will be in conversation with author Lori Wolliver. That's October 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. She wrote a book about her longtime boss, Anthony Bourdain, called Bourdain, the Definitive Oral Biography. And I'm going to be interviewing Lori Wolliver on stage about the book. She did 91 interviews with different people who knew and loved Mr. Bourdain. And that is Powerhouse Arena, October 6th, 7 to 9 p.m. in Brooklyn. Okay, cool.
I didn't know that the Powerhouse Arts is that Gowanus building. That's amazing.
We've done it.
I'm glad that it's open and it's doing stuff.
Yay!
Sarah,
unless we have to go virtual.
So
oh, you're welcome.
Well, that's true. Yes.
We might have to go virtual.
Last thing I have to say is,
all right.
Wear a mask. Come on. Be good.
Wear a mask.
Get vaccinated
get
so you don't have to go virtual.
Folks,
get
vaccinated, please. Let's hang out. Let's have some drinks. Let's have fun and act like we're living a life that we all love again. Maybe that got dark a little bit
but
it's the positivity, remember from the beginning, trying to do it, see?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Full circle. Here we are.
Mm-hmm. You like it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I like it.
Well,
I
someone
like
from
it.
Ohio, mm-hmm. a person from Ohio made it dark at the end, but that's okay.
That's okay. It's chili, you eat so much chili, year after year, and it just like
do.
Eats your insides. You know, behind my eyes is just like Cincinnati chili. Just the dead look of a Cincinnati chili.
Have you ever seen the Cincinnati? Have you ever seen those Cincinnati chili packets that they come
that's
in?
That's coming
the,
with your coin. I'm
like
giving. I'm bringing
death.
You a packet. Done. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
So
thanks, Sarah.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Baylor. Podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/theadventuresofdannyandmike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.